episode of Calm, Cool, and Connected is brought to you by Bridgeside Medical Clinic, Chesapeake Integrated Behavioral Healthcare, and Edgar Casey's ARE.
Now more than ever, we have an opportunity to be a positive force in the world, to help heal the divide, to treat each other and ourselves with respect. But with so many tools out there, from meditation to physical training, proper nutrition, therapy, and so many others, we all need a little help navigating all the options. Join us as we share in-depth information, insights, and thought-provoking discussions that will help answer your questions about how to stay calm, cool, and connected during these times. Welcome to Calm, Cool, and Connected, your guidebook to peace of mind.
Hello, and welcome to Calm, Cool, and Connected. I'm your host, Dr. Elizabeth Bedrick. One of the foundational aspects of cognitive behavioral therapy is that of core beliefs. The idea with core beliefs is that all of our life experiences contribute to a belief system, and then this belief system becomes the lens through which we see the world. This could be either good or sometimes not so good when it comes to maybe beliefs about ourselves, our self-esteem, self-confidence, and things of that nature. So today, our guest here with us today, Alexa Bailey, is going to be talking with us about self-esteem and how self-esteem develops and how it really influences our day-to-day functioning. So hi, Alexa, welcome.
Hi, good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. I'm so excited to have you.
Excited to be here, and especially this topic. It's one that I love, so I'm glad that we're talking about it.
Perfect. Tell us a little bit about the work that you do and then kind of the tie-in, the clinical aspect of the self-esteem piece.
Yes. So in my practice, I focus a lot on trauma, big and small, and the beliefs that we have about ourselves are very much rooted in the experiences that we have. And so self-esteem is a topic that, you know, whether we're young or old, it's going to be relevant for us. And so that's where I see it pop up a lot is, you know, in the beliefs that we have about who we are and where we've kind of gained those along the way.
And when you're working with clients, where do you notice this? Where does the self-esteem initially start to develop? So what are some of these really significant or pivotal life experiences that start to set the foundation for the self-esteem?
Great question. And it really comes from a number of different areas. As much as we don't like to believe it, a lot of our self-esteem comes from when we are younger, right? The voices that we heard spoken to us through caregivers or friends, a lot of times that's how we start to, you know, develop our own inner voice is the commentary that we've heard the people around us use. But not just that, also the experiences that we have within ourselves, you know, in romantic relations, we start to develop who we are and the beliefs about how we should or shouldn't appear in the world. You know, those I am statements of, you know, I am good or I am bad, you know, those are basic, but some of those beliefs.
When we think about self-esteem, why is it so important? Like, what are some of the, even some of the concerns that your clients are coming in for that maybe when you start digging in, you're like, okay, this is rooted a lot more in core beliefs. What are some of those maybe issues or ailments that they're coming in for that lead you to noticing the self-esteem piece?
Yeah, so there's a lot of reasons why this happens. But the question I get quite often, and it's a little bit sad to hear, is, why does it matter what I think about myself? Like, why does that even matter? And the reality is that how you think about yourself is how you show up in the world, right? I think we think a lot and gear self-esteem towards a lot of teenagers and young adults or children, and that's good and well, but we also forget that we need that maintenance too as adults, right? It's just as important. But as we ask that question of why does it matter, well, it impacts our ability to connect. It impacts our ability to do our jobs well, our ability to look in the mirror and be okay with what we see. And those core beliefs tend to, you know, leave that residual feeling of, am I okay with myself at the end of the day, right? If I'm good with my friends, that's great, but that's external, right? I want to have that internal piece of, I'm okay as I am. And there's a lot of things that get in the way of being able to do that. If maybe I've had messages throughout my life that have told me that I'm not that way.
And if that's our belief that we're not good enough or that we are bad, what is that impacting for us? Where is that showing up in belief functioning?
Right. If I'm feeling that I'm not good as I am, or that I'm not good enough, or that I'm not worthy of love, right, I'm going to start looking for the evidence that says that's true. Maybe I don't really want to feel that way, but I'm going to look for the evidence that says, yeah, you know what? You're not. So if I forget to get the mail on my way, and if my partner, you know, tells me that I forgot to do the dishes, right, these are all just going to be fodder for myself as, yeah, that's true. It's true. I'm really not good. I really don't know what I'm doing. And And so we gather the evidence that just reinforces that negative belief of, yeah, you're right, you're not good. And that becomes a very slippery slope into, now I'm not going to see, even be able to see the things that say contrary to that. I'm only going to see the things that say it's true.
And if we believe that we're not good enough, then we, maybe this is going to prevent us from risk-taking or from engaging in social situations or doing things to better ourselves. If that's the consistent message that I'm not good enough anyway, there's not a whole lot of motivation to try to be good enough.
Absolutely. Yeah. It is, like you said, and we start to put these like faux restrictions on ourselves and yeah, I can't, I'm not going to go for that job opportunity because I'm not going to get it anyway. Right. I'm not going to reach out to a new person and make a new friend because they're not going to want to be my friend. Like, we set ourselves back and don't allow ourselves to take those risks.
Where do you see perfectionism or people pleasing? How do you see that tie in to one's self-esteem?
Ooh, so perfectionism is one of those, it's one of those things like we're all like, hi, I'm Alexa, I'm a recovering perfectionist. We all experience it, right? But that perfectionism, when it comes to self-esteem, is that if I am not like the best friend of everybody around me, of all of my friends, then I have no friends, right? It starts to be this film that we view the world through of, if I am just not good, then I'm not going to even see myself as enough if I'm not 110%, right? It's perfect instead of okay. We set these very unrealistic expectations that then turn into, like you said, these destructive behaviors of, I'm going to people please and I'm going to put myself in the backyard and not think about myself, right? I'm just going to put myself out and focus on the needs of other people.
What, in your opinion, is the difference between self-esteem and self-confidence?
So self-esteem and self-confidence, I think we kind of intertwine them a lot and think that they're the same, but they're different because self-esteem is kind of this sense of like identity, you know, how we trust ourselves. And self-confidence is more rooted, I think, in our ability to have good judgments, our ability to trust, right? There's this difference there. And sometimes we can have, maybe we feel like we have high self-confidence, but then we do have low self-esteem, right? Like, I think we know a lot of people that can put on a good bravado, they feel good. Then internally, they're not really feeling that way. And as we see those two kind of dual competing things, we want more of that. We want a more balanced approach to it. We want to be able to balance it out in ourselves that we can be confident and we also feel good and not just one or the other. But I think we do sometimes feel like we have to pick between either I feel good about myself and I'm okay and whatever, or I have to show everyone else that I am good and not necessarily believe in myself.
Right. It's like that saying, if everybody likes you, there's a good chance you don't. Right. So if
yes.
You are doing everything to please everyone around you, there's a good chance you're not pleased. And we know that self-confidence often can be like a mask or a compensatory behavior. It can be something that, you know, if we present with confidence, then the people around us think we're okay. And so then maybe we can start to feel okay when that's not always the case. What about self-compassion? How do you tie self-compassion into the work that you do with your clients around self-esteem?
Yes. So self-compassion is a beautiful, beautiful thing. There's a book that is my favorite from Kristen Neff about self-compassion. And my belief is that it is that antidote, the low self-esteem, is being able to kind of challenge that negative appraisal by creating a sense of okayness for ourselves, if that makes sense, that we can have two things happening at once, right? I can think that I made a mistake and also feel okay with myself. I can have a bad day and still know that I'll have a good day, right? It's creating a sense of duality, so to speak, of yeah. I can tolerate two emotions at one time. It's not just one or the other, right? I'm not going to over-identify or over-attach to it. And instead, I'm going to have the self-compassion, take myself out and say, okay, we made a mistake. It's all good. That's not the only thing about me, right? It's having a bigger perspective of, there's more to my experience than the things that I do.
Yes, I love that our mistakes don't define us. They're not who we are. They're what happens. And I think that self-compassion piece, I tie in with my clients a lot with helping them to really reflect back on what were some of these earlier messages that we received mm-hmm. that have impacted who we believe we are today. And trying to have compassion for that, you know, that the inner child, as we call it. So the 7-year-old who received the message that they were good enough and they were constantly criticized. And can we have compassion for that inner child that is just screaming out for attention and esteem and acceptance?
Absolutely. I agree with that.
Do you do the inner child work at all with your clients?
All the time. It's one of my favorite things because we all were children at some point. And the reality is that that person is totally still inside, right? The things you liked to do when you were 10 years old, you probably still like to do those. You maybe don't, right? And building that compassion for that inner child. If you were to, I think it's good for parents, actually, like when I have adults that are struggling with things, is to recognize, see, if this was your child that was saying these things, saying that they're not worthy of love, saying that they're not enough, how would you feel? And there's often quite a lot of tears of, they're worthy. They are. Like, I love them. Like, well, see, it's true for you, right? It's, how do I then replicate that? Because that's an external thing. How do I replicate that internally for myself? And start to almost like, you know, give younger us a hug and say, that sucks. That was not okay. And I'm here for you now.
And that's exactly it. And I asked the same question of what, you know, if your child was sitting here with you, what would you say to them in this moment? And can you provide that for yourself? I love that. That's beautiful. Tell us where our viewers can find more about you, where they can get more information, learn about you.
Yes. So you can head over to the evolvecounselingaz.com website. I'm there, as well as I run an Instagram site, Alexa Bailey Counseling, and we share a lot of things there. I'm actually, over the next couple of months, doing a self-esteem series with a local organization. We're doing some Instagram lives coming up, so you can catch us there for more information and little tidbits throughout the way.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here with us. I really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
And thank you all for tuning in to this episode of Calm, Cool, and Connected. Please make sure to find us on Facebook and Instagram, and also make sure to rate and subscribe to our podcast so that others can find our content as well. Thank you again for joining us.